B-Pod Studios.
I think that the Patriots are the second most dangerous team in the AFC. I think Buffalo is still the best and most dangerous team. I think Buffalo is the best team in football. Okay, I've remained adamant in that. I think Buffalo and the AFC.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I think that the Patriots are the second most dangerous team in the AFC. I think Buffalo is still the best and most dangerous team. I think Buffalo is the best team in football. Okay, I've remained adamant in that. I think Buffalo and the AFC, the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC. Everyone talks about New England's defense. They played 10 games. There has been one quarterback to play a good game against this defense this year. One, Dak Prescott. Was the only guy, quarterback-wise, to play well this year. They played against Justin Herbert. He had his worst game of the year against them. They played against Tom. Tom had a very pedestrian game against them. So this defense is going to make basically any. So I kind of agree with Stephen A's point. You got to be a dude at the quarterback spot. And they've even made those guys look very basic this year.
Right, but Lamar has that special little thing.
Yes, Lamar's special, no doubt. I think the thing that makes New England indifferent to me or very different than me compared to the other teams, I think they got the best offensive line in the AFC right now. Their offensive line. The Cleveland Browns came into yesterday's game with the number one pass rush unit in the NFL. They pressured Mac Jones three times.
Yeah.
I think that the Patriots offensive line is rounding in to be just as good as their defense. And I don't think anybody in the AFC has that.
So again, we're playing the sights and sounds from coverage of the Patriots around the league. It's all glowingly positive, I think. Orlovsky, very high there on the Patriots. He still has Buffalo, though, as the most dangerous team in the conference. Greg, agree or disagree?
I think Kansas City's the most dangerous team in the conference. You know, if this was not an aberration. I think Buffalo's close. I don't have a ton of...
Are you coming around on Buffalo? Or has
no, I just think that, you know, they've had continuity. I'm a big believer in continuity. Josh Allen is good. I still have him in the Andrew Luck category, where I don't think he's great yet because he makes too many boneheaded decisions in big games in the biggest moment for them to win big. And I need to see him overcome that. Now, I will say this, to give the Patriots honks something to go on here. Football Outsiders, their numbers. The Buffalo Bills have had the easiest schedule offensively and defensively to this point. So if you want to say Buffalo hasn't played anybody so far this year, go right ahead. That is totally legit. The Patriots aren't far off. But no question, the Bills on defense, even though their defense is supposedly pretty nasty this year, their defense has played by far the easiest schedule.
So we got a call on this yesterday, and just my answer to it is they went to the AFC title game last year, and they're in first place this
year. For two years running.
So it's like now, so this is back to my stacking thing. I mean, you just take care of business, and you do it every week, and not that Buffalo did. They had a hiccup, certainly, there against Jacksonville. But if on balance you're racking that up and stacking those wins, then that's sort of like, I don't know.
They're the champ. You got to knock them off. They've been in first place basically for
a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half, and they went to the AFC Championship game. Until you prove otherwise, they own this division.
Okay, back to your phones here before we get to 10 questions with the big fella. Greg Bedard is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group's an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Here's John in Brockton. What do you got, John?
Hey, not to nitpick, guys, but how concerned are you with the punter, Bailey? I think he's been night and day from last year. He doesn't kick the ball inside the 10 or the 15-yard line a lot, and with the colder weather coming and bad weather coming, I think it could be a big factor in a close game.
Okay, what's happened to Josh Bailey?
I don't know.
This guy was a weapon when he first got here, remember? Jake Bailey. What's happened to him?
I don't know. He was great last year.
He's been on the injury list, so maybe there's something going on. I think it's with a knee, so maybe it's his plant leg.
Yeah, the other thing is he's had a couple of kicks blocked, right? That can always get in your head. Like, I wouldn't rule that out either. To me, though, there have been a couple of long punts that I still think his leg strength overall is there, But the not being able to knock him down inside the 20 thing, he's lost some of that. There's no question about it.
Okay, again, national coverage. Rich Eisen, for one, says the Patriots are back. They're going to win it all. Maybe not this year, but it's coming. Cameron in Providence on that. Go ahead, Cameron.
Yeah, I was just seeing if you guys heard Rich Eisen. You thought he had his pants off after the Chargers game. The guy actually said Mac Jones runs the Patriots offense better than Brady has ever. I mean, this is just taking it way too far. The guy had one great game. Brady has had hundreds of great games. I mean, I just don't understand that type of level of confidence in him after one great game.
Thanks, Cameron. Jimmy Stewart, if you could, please. Rich Eisen, number one.
I'm going to say this, and I mean it. And anybody who sits there and goes, well, you're crazy, can't see it for what I'm seeing it. Mac Jones, right now, over this four-game win streak, is operating this offense as good as Tom Brady did.
Oh, my God.
He is. I'm saying it.
In, like, 2004?
Of course not. I'm talking about just in general over the last few years. I'm not talking about, like, say, in 2007. I'm talking about this looks like the Patriots offense when Brady was operating it at a high level. And I know that anytime you bring up Brady, it's like, well, he's not Tom Brady. Of course he's not Tom Brady. There's nobody named Tom Brady except Tom Brady. But what he's doing is he's running this as efficiently as Tom Brady.
Okay, there you go.
He is. Mm-hmm. He's seeing it, and he's...
Yeah, just go ahead, Matt. How's your thoughts?
So, look, again, this is one of the things that from this game, in all seriousness, has really irritated me, is this idea that what happened on Sunday has been going on for a month. Like, they've been playing this way for a month. Maybe defensively there's been some connection for a month.
Definitely.
Offensively?
They haven't been that good.
No way.
They weren't that good the last two.
No way. They weren't really. Again, the game in against the Chargers and the game against Carolina. They were not great offensively in either one of those games.
That's why I didn't get his assessment specifically, because he was at that game against the Chargers.
In the Carolina game, in the second half, he completed one pass. They didn't want him dropping back because they couldn't protect him.
I'm telling you, the Patriots fans that are used to railing against the national media that doesn't respect you and doesn't think you have a chance, like, you, I don't know what you're going to do with yourselves. You got to turn yourself against us local guys, because the national guys are all in on you, man.
Oh, my gosh. It's really it's the biggest fallout from this game that you want to say you want to take a negative out of it is this idea that what happened on Sunday is consistent with what happened in the two or three weeks prior. It's stupid. It is really, really stupid. Anybody who watched the Chargers game or the Panthers game knows that those were not the same thing.
Is Mac Jones running the offense like Tom Brady, Greg?
Hell no. That was so stupid. Like, come on. Like,
they're not happy.
Well, hold on. I mean, there is one thing that Rich Eisen did get right. Go ahead, Jimmy.
They're not happy in New England unless they're on their own home teams.
Well, that is true.
He's got that right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Look, Mac played well on Sunday. The entire offense did. They have to play in a certain manner for Mac to look good, that the offense needs to operate in a search. They need to run the ball well. They need to protect them. They need to catch the ball. All those things hit on Sunday, so Mac looked like a world beater. It was by far his best game of the season. You can't be saying that he's been doing this for like a month. That's just factually not true.
Okay. There may have been a very little bit in this last game that looked Patriot-like on offense, but that's as far as I'll go with that. A couple, you know, a half dozen plays in 1 week. Okay. Otherwise, let's keep it in our pantalones.
Can we also just say that, like, Tom Brady and the Patriots didn't become Tom Brady and the Patriots beating teams 45-7? It was the special comebacks, the special moments, the, you know, the San Diego game that year.
Yes.
It's like, you know, iconic, like, how the hell did they do that? How did they pull that out? How did Brady pull that out? Have we seen anything like that from Mac yet? I mean, he did a little bit against Dallas, going toe-to-toe with Dallas.
And then they kicked the ball away.
And then they kicked the 56-yard.
Why do you guys got to hate? He's just like Brady. He's Brady Jr.
All right, 10 questions come your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our options this week?
Fellowship of the Miserable.
Thank you. Yep, true.
I wish all my fellow DN brothers happy hunting.
Yes, very good. Next.
Pick one!
Next.
I love Chubb.
Kevin Garnett was going to be back in just a couple of weeks. There's nothing wrong with him.
No, he's going to be fine. He's fine.
They did it with Garnett.
I just said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Excellent.
Last one.
Mac Jones was great. Mac Jones was terrific. Mac Jones.
That has replaced Brady. All right, hit it, Jimmy. Anyone?
Mac Jones was great. Mac Jones was terrific. Mac Jones.
We're playing their little game this week, too, as well. Jim Murray submitted some questions. There's three of them here mixed into the 10. You have to tell me which ones are the Murray questions, okay? Number 10. Do you like the NFL product this year, or do you find it full of mind-numbingly terrible blowouts that are a waste of time?
Murray question.
It is.
I think the product is fine. It's just like any other year. It goes in cycles. I'm sure it'll be fine in the last couple months of the season. I'm not overly worried about it.
I mean, I don't like it any less than I usually do. I mean, you know, have there been some ugly games? Yes. But overall, I still love the league.
Too many uncompetitive blowouts. You had another one last night. I can count on one hand how many truly entertaining games I've seen this year and have fingers left over.
It feels like there's more than Murray's portraying. Maybe I have it wrong. I wonder if there's a stat, you know, margin of victory across the whole slate of games. Is it any better or worse? I'm curious about that. Because I don't feel it, Murray. But anyway, that was one of his questions. Next. Kevin Garnett was going to be back in just a couple of weeks. There's nothing wrong with him.
He's going to be fine.
They did it with Garnett.
I just said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. No. Number 9, Teddy Bridgewater drew a lot of criticism for not taking or not going for the tackle on a fumble return against the Eagles. Do you want your starting quarterbacks sticking their nose in there for tackles on returns?
I want my quarterbacks to dive on the ground in front of the runner, so that they at least slow them up and make them jump or something so somebody else can make the tackle.
Yes. Yes, I want my quarterback involved in the play. Yes.
What if the quarterback's good?
I don't care.
I do.
At least make an attempt. Fake
no.
it. Make it look like you give a half a
Flop.
Din. You got a helmet on like everybody else. At least fake it. That was bad with Bridgewater.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to make an effort.
Bridgewater, yes. Mahomes, no. Go run out of bounds. I don't want you anywhere near the play. Next.
I love Chubb.
Again, guess the Jim Murray questions. Number 8, why isn't anyone actually good?
Some of the reasons that I said earlier, but a new one that I came up with. It's because nobody else had any cap space this offseason, so nobody got to really augment their roster.
Wrong.
Oh, now there's a verdict on my answers. Okay,
I'll tell you what I think is a factor. Okay, I'll tell you what I think is a factor, the change in schedule.
Should institute a verdict system in the 10 questions.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The shorter preseason, the extra game, I think a lot of these guys overthink it. They don't know how to manage it. It changes the practice routines. Like, I think that they need a little time to figure it out, and we won't notice a difference in another year or two.
Too many stupid coaches, too many injuries into what Maz was saying. I think teams are treating this new schedule, the 17-game season, weird. Like, a lot of them are just half-assing it some weeks because they're more worried about games later in the year or divisional games. The 17-game schedule has altered this.
So that, of course, is a Murray question. Feel like he's down on the entire NFL product this year. The answer why anyone isn't actually good is because there's not enough good coaches. That's what I think.
Yeah, but that's true every year.
Yeah, I feel it's getting worse. I don't feel it's getting better. I feel it's getting worse. Who's establishing themselves?
Nobody.
You know, it's
even the good young coaches have gone sideways this year.
McVay. You know, McVay is someone that I would say, right? But other than him, name a young...
Stefanski was another
Vrabel.
One.
Is there a... Okay, so Vrabel. Okay, there's another one. Well, I mean, so now we're done.
Cliff Kingsbury was on the hot seat. No. He's having a good year.
I know, but again, I think that that's been true for a number of years. This year's worse. The parody's worse, or more pronounced, is a better way to say it.
Okay, next. Pick one! Number seven, the Steelers' Najee Harris was getting ready to play the second overtime on Sunday against Detroit when he was told that the game was over. In other words, he didn't know the game could end in a tie. Your thoughts?
This is, to go with what we just discussed, this is another example of why coaching is completely inept in this league, even with a Mike Tomlin who's been around. I mean, can you imagine teams coached by Don Shula, Landry, Noel, Walsh, Gibbs, Parcells, or Bud Grant? Any of their players saying those things? Hell no.
I mean, to me, again, I asked you this during the break. Like, it feels like it pops up a lot. Do the coaches even cover it? And I'm talking about every year.
The good ones do.
I'm talking about every year. Do they even cover it? Like, but, do they ever go over the overtime rules with the players?
But apparently the good ones don't, though, Greg, because Donovan McNabb didn't know back in, like, 2008 under Andy Reid, and he's one of the better coaches. So I'll say the same thing I said then. Yeah, if you make that kind of money that these guys make to play this game, you should at least know the basic rules.
Andy Reid was not a good coach until he got Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, every year, what stands out to me about it, and we did this on TV a little bit, every year this happens. Every year there's a tie. There's not a tie every year, but every year there's a tie. There are players and coaches who don't realize the game is over. For example, okay, so Najee Harris said he didn't know the game would end in a tie until the very end. He was ready to keep playing, but someone told him the game was over, okay? But then they went to the Detroit side. Listen to this. Lions running back kick returner Godwin Igbuike, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced that name, didn't know either. He was asking around on the sidelines how many overtimes there can be. One person said three, another said two. Year after year, Donovan McNabb did it famously. Here's a quote from Danny Amendola to Peter King in 2012 when Amendola was with the Rams. Amendola, this is Peter King's tweet. Amendola just told me he thought there was going to be a second overtime. Didn't know it was over till he heard from an official. Then they asked Amendola about it. He said, we never practiced or talked about it. So I was just getting ready for the next one. I honestly didn't know the game could end in a tie. Call me stupid. I don't give a crap. I don't agree with ties. We could have had an, either way, we could have had an outcome here. I don't know. Maybe they should change the rule. Every year, there are guys that goes to overtime or it ends in a tie, and they're saying, oh, here's Deshaun Goldson from the San Francisco 49ers, also in 2012. Quote, I've never heard of a tie in football. Where's everybody going? Did somebody quit? Did they forfeit? Every year.
It blows me away.
Guys are stretching out for the second overtime. Is it what? It is. That's what strikes me. Sorry for the long answer, but I love those stories. Next.
I wish all my fellow DN brothers happy hunting.
Number six, true or false? Militant Patriots fans are the worst people on planet Earth.
Murray question.
Sure is.
Every fan base has them. I've covered different teams. They all have them. May the population be a little bit larger here and a little bit louder on social media, perhaps, but every market has them.
Oh, I don't care about all that. True. 100% true. They're the worst people on the planet.
Believe it or not, false. But they're close, because as long as there's climate protesters who block traffic and commies who want everyone to stop working, they're going to have to settle for the bronze. But keep it up. As this season has started to go here the last month, you might just get gold.
I was just about to say, you are Trumpers, or you're woke, whatever, the woke side on the other side, you're these people. You are these people, but you're just Patriots fans. You are the worst of the worst, and I lump you in with all those other a-holes.
They should have a convention, the Pats and the anti-vaxxers.
The whole thing. The anti-vaxxers,
the fans,
the woke mob, the whatever. All of them on both sides of it that just make you want to light yourself on fire. The first time they open their mouths, that's who you are. Next.
Mac Jones was great. Mac Jones was terrific. Mac Jones.
Number five, biggest tool bag receiver in the NFL. Latest in a series, the easiest tool bag position, I think, in the league.
OBJ.
Yeah, it's still him. As long as someone picks him up, he's the king.
I'm going with Mike Evans. Thinks he's better than he actually is. Soft. Brady hates him and rightfully doesn't trust him.
Murray
does hate him. He's hated him the whole time.
Cross my mind, Murray, but it's OBJ.
Isn't it amazing? Odell Beckham's in L.A. for like 2 minutes,
yeah,
and they're already falling apart. He's already a complete basket case. Mm-hmm. Clown show there. Next. Kevin Garnett was going to be back in just a couple of weeks. There was nothing wrong with him. Yeah, no, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
They did it with Garnett.
I just said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So good.
Four. biggest bonus tool bag, biggest tool bag Falcon, Atlanta Falcon of all time. And then just on the other side of it, who's your favorite Falcon of all side and you all time, and you can't take Deion Sanders. So biggest tool bag Falcon, favorite Falcon other than Deion.
Eugene Robinson, the Super Bowl hooker guy.
What a story. He was receiving award for a family leadership.
Yeah, like he was like Man of the Year or something.
Man of the Year. Christian, family Man of the Year or
Christian
something.
Family Leader of the Year, Man of the Year. And he stepped out to go get a little during the ceremony to honor him as Man of the Year. Oh, that's the greatest. Who's your favorite Falcon of all time?
Jesse Tuggle, the linebacker. I love that guy. I love watching him play.
So I totally missed the favorite, I mean, the...
tool bag, it's okay.
Yeah, the first part of that. So my favorite's Eric Metcalf. Again, 2 weeks in a row. I love that guy as a player. I did. I loved him. He was my favorite Brown, my favorite Falcon. I loved Eric Metcalf.
I had the same tool bag as Greg for that reason, and my favorite was early Mike Vick. He was electric.
I almost went with Andre Rison.
Oh, yeah. Bad Moon Rising. Next. Pick one. Along these lines. Has there ever been a better TD dance than the Dirty Bird?
No.
I mean, the Icky Shuffle was pretty good.
I was just, yeah. That's those are one and two.
Yeah, the Icky Shuffle was pretty good. Can I just say also quickly, I always loved the original Billy White Shoes dance with, you know, moving the knees back and forth. Like, that was sort of a trendsetter.
I'm going one from that era. Niners safety Merton Hanks, anytime he made an interception.
Yeah.
He did the chicken dance, and I can't do it because I'm afraid of, like, paralyzing myself. Yes. And he'd come in like D'Lo Brown in the WWE. I loved that.
Murray, can you do the Dirty Bird? Come on, let's do it. Let's get it.
I also like anything that
that
incorporates the worm into the dance.
So I'll just take this time to say, when they opened it back up, how come we don't get any creative dances? It's all just when the defense gets a turnover, they run into the corner and mug for the camera, and like there's no good touchdowns. What happened to the? I thought they opened it up to the creative sort of fun dances. How come we don't see them?
Good point.
Too many props got involved. I think that's why they cut back on it. Phones coming out that
but now they've opened it back up. You can't use a prop, but you're allowed. They don't throw flags for excessive celebration anymore.
The coaches want you to celebrate as a team, not an individual.
Well, then let's do the Dirty Bird as a team or something. Like, let's bring that back.
If it's dirty, I'm in.
Next.
I love Chubb.
Seems like Tom Brady and Bruce Arians are back at it again. Is this time any different than last year? Or is it going to be just like last year?
Yeah, just like last year. They'll get it figured out.
Different.
Why?
I feels like something's wrong down there. And maybe it's as simple as the fact that the defense or they're fat and happy or what. But it does not feel right down there. If I were a Bucs fan, I'd be worried.
Different. Coach is an egomaniac.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's different because Jimmy Stewart's phone is speaking of a real power struggle, and it's just going to get worse.
Go ahead, Jimmy. What do you know down there?
Arians is jealous of the credit that Tom Brady is getting. Tom Brady is pushing back. And I think throw the game is a little strong. But Tom Brady, I think, ran Arians' playbook and was like, yeah, that's not going to work, pal. I'm taking over this thing going forward.
So real issues according to Jimmy Stewart's phone. Last one. Kevin Garnett was going to be back in just a couple of weeks. There's nothing wrong with him. No, he's going to be fine. He's fine. He's fine.
They did it with Garnett.
I just said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
it's the end part of it. That's the best. Oh. Fill in the blank. I think Thursday night football is?
Too soon. Give me Friday night football. Screw high school football.
It's a trade-off. I mean, I like the fact that there's a Thursday night game, but the quality of the product blows. But I like the fact that on Thursday night, I'm looking forward to a football game.
Mostly terrible. Yeah, I mean, the product stinks. And these guys are too beat up from just a handful of days before. You get low-scoring games that, if they are competitive, they're not really great to watch.
I think Thursday night football has gotten much better. Much better. And I think it's now a viable product. And maybe my attitudes have changed. I think the production of the game is different. Remember when Thursday Night Football first started?
Yeah.
It was Bryant Gumbel.
Oh, it was horrible.
On the NFL Network with, like, shoddy camera work, horrible audio. You know, it was
horrible.
Second rate. No, it's a big deal. It's Buck and Aikman, and it's on the network, and I think the matchups are better, and I think the players have gotten used to it. And I'm telling you, it's a home run every week. I just think it's gotten better, and I don't mind it anymore. I used to really hate it. So there's 10 questions. Back to your phones after Big Jim Murray's update.
Mac Jones was great. Mac Jones was terrific. Mac Jones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones here with Bedad. See, longest order of wait. Here's Andrew in Manchester, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Been a while. So I don't know if you guys saw yet, but Stephen A. Smith tweeted out that he thought the Pats were the most dangerous team in the AFC. And then he's got his top five at 1-5, Packers, Titans, Cowboys, Patriots at 4, and then the Cardinals. In my mind, as a diehard Pats fan from Norfolk, you know, growing up there, I'd put him at a 9 or a 10. What do you guys think?
Okay. I mean, do I really have to engage in power ranking?
Yeah,
is this like the BCS?
No, but I'll tell you this. I mean, let's just keep it to the AFC.
They're right? In it. They're in it. They're right in the mix. They're right there.
Absolutely, they're in it.
So, like, what does it... I'm not dumping on you, caller. I know it sounds like I am. What does it matter if they're third in your power rankings or sixth? They're right there. They're a half game out of first.
Yeah, but my eyes tell me they're the best.
With two games against a division leader, you're right there. No one is playing better or any more confidently in the AFC anyway. And so you're right there. What does it matter if Stephen A's got him third or Maz has got him ninth? What's the diff? We all agree they're in it.
It doesn't matter. And I would tell you that if any one of those teams comes in here right now, I think the Patriots are in good shape at home against a good team in the league. And when I say at home, I'm not factoring in this year's one loss record. I'm talking about generically in your building.
Yeah, you'd rather have the Titans here than there.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, with the way they're going right now, they can beat anybody.
Do you agree with that, Greg?
I was just looking at it. If I had to, if the playoffs started tomorrow, I would probably put them about fifth in the AFC. Certainly in the mix. Tennessee, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, in New England.
I think that's fair. I mean,
yeah, totally.
I mean, they're in the mix, and we'll see. But if the playoffs started tomorrow, that would sort of be my ranking.
Right, but that's not to say...
I don't think the gap from 1-5 is huge.
Not at all.
And my point is, they could beat any of those teams on any given Sunday.
Yep. Absolutely.
They could lose to any of those teams.
So what does it matter where they're ranked? Unless you just, again, want that little fanboy endorphin shot of, you know, them being second.
Yeah, we're number one.
It's almost power ranking. Yeah. It just doesn't matter. We all agree they're in it. They can beat any of these teams. They also could lose to any of these teams, or they could beat any of them.
We're climbing in the rankings.
Brian and Attleboro. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, just touching on QBs making plays. Did you guys see Brady, you know, after his two picks last game? He didn't move a muscle. And just quickly, with Belichick's success on Thursday Night Football and Atlanta just lost by 40, and without their two best players, Patterson and Ridley, is there any way the Patriots lose this game? Thanks, guys.
I don't see it. I mean, but the fact, you know, you got it wrong on the Falcons last game. The fact that the Falcons got blown out the week before makes it more likely they bounce back, which doesn't mean it's a guarantee they bounce back. It's just we know the way the league works. It sets them up better than it would be if they were coming off a blowout win, frankly. But I think the Pats have established themselves to a point where I can sort of start looking past some opponents, and this is one of them.
We talked earlier, and I said I'm not sure what the ceiling is for this team. I think we know what the floor is, and it has risen over the past few weeks. That's where I think they've come up, where it's like, all right, they're not going to lose to a crappy Falcons team on Thursday night, even on the road, whereas – you know, maybe 6 weeks ago, maybe we couldn't have said that.
We have up next Mike in Danvers calling us back. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Sorry about earlier.
Go ahead.
So you have some people that will jump on the bandwagon, right? But those are the people that don't follow Bill, right? Now, 3 weeks ago, we were asking ourselves, well, why isn't Mac Jones making those little float passes? Because Bill brings him along at his pace, and I don't think Bill felt comfortable with him making those throws yet. So I just think it's a matter of we got to give Bill some credit here. He's done a really good job.
You know, Mike, it's true. Bill gets no credit.
Yeah. None.
No one ever wants
especially to, about the offensive side.
No one ever wants to give him his props. It's somebody he just can't get a break, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's about time that
it's you know what? It's about time people start giving Belichick some credit. Yeah. I agree. It's all that disrespect he gets.
Who's going to be the first person who calls in and said they tanked last year on purpose?
Already got those calls. Oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know. He wanted to rope-a-dope the league. He caught them all off guard.
It's time to start giving Bill some credit, folks. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing that everyone knows this, we don't say it enough. You can't be anything less than an elite quarterback and think you're going to beat Bill Belichick. It's just not going to happen. He exposes
and those
average.
Teams I talked about have those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I understand that, but he exposes average quarterbacks. Now,
right.
Let's understand something here. The only person that's proven to be elite come postseason time is Patrick Mahomes. So what I'm saying to you is you purview the landscape. In the AFC, okay, Justin Herbert, we ain't seen him yet, not in the postseason, and he's a young quarterback that would be going up against Bill Belichick. Let's say for the sake of argument, Derek Carr manages to get there. Don't get me started with him. He ain't proven to be elite, okay? All right, Keyshawn's still hiding over that one, okay? Let's say Joe Burrow was lucky enough to get there. We believe in Joe Burrow, but there's some games where he's been a little bit exposed.
Yeah.
And what we thought of him, he's made some errors. He hasn't proven to be elite. Lamar Jackson hasn't proven to be elite. Ben Roethlisberger's a stationary target. Certainly not elite anymore. And again, I brought up Josh Allen. There is no one in the AFC outside of Patrick Mahomes who you can definitively say is that dude in the postseason. And oh, by the way, when Patrick Mahomes shows up against New England, he usually struggles against them more than he struggles against anybody else. So when you look at it and the veteran leadership they got on the defensive side of the ball and offensively, they don't beat themselves for the most part because that's the greatest thing you can say about Mac Jones. This kid, Ramondre Stevenson, running the football effectively for them as well. I'm just saying I can't ignore what I'm seeing from really New England well. Right now.
There's Stephen A. on, again, we're playing just a lot of sounds from around the league and the national coverage of the Patriots. It's glowing. Not enough good quarterbacks in the AFC to beat Bill Belichick. Mahomes might be the only guy. What do you think, Greg?
Fair. I mean, the Titans without Derrick Henry, I like their chances. I mean, Vrabel will go toe-to-toe with Belichick, and it'll be physical, and they'll have something the Patriots weren't ready for, and so they're more even on that level, which is something you could not have said about Kevin Stefanski or any of these other run of bums that they've gone against. But Vrabel will be ready. We'll have something for the Patriots, but they're not balanced enough on offense.
And look at what they did to Lamar Jackson with a bad team last year, too. So as presently constituted, a playoff starter today, they'd be at Baltimore. I like the Pats in that game.
Okay, so I was just going to say, I think there's one thing that Stephen A. is leaving out, and that is where's the game? Okay, because if you have, we all like Mac Jones. He's still a rookie. You put him on the road in a playoff game, you know, that's going to be a struggle to score. So do I like Belichick against the other quarterbacks? Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're winning on the road. So, you know, there's still some hurdles to clear, but look, the AFC's flawed. I mean, it feels pretty flat, for lack of a better word. Why are you smiling over there?
No, I'm just thinking about what we said yesterday about, I do feel bad for Bills fans for some degree. Like, a Bills fan has had a run that's lasted maybe 18 months,
right.
14 months, 16, you know.
Now it's our time.
It's like, you know, you started, like, the Patriots look really rough, you know, last year. They don't have a quarterback. Then they draft a rookie, which means there's a couple-year reset before you got to take that team seriously and all that. And so if you're a Bills fan, you're looking at it. And, of course, the Jets and the Dolphins are in the toilet. And as a Bills fan, you're sitting here last month going, this is our time. We're breathing easy here. Like, this is just how far we can go. You know, I mean, we don't got to worry about anything in the rearview mirror. And a month later, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Like they had no time to enjoy their perch. None.
Matt Jones is going to win more games in Buffalo than anybody but Jim Kelly.
It's like, seriously. I'll take a few more calls here before Greg gets the heck out of here. Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's up, Greg? I got a question for you just because you know more about the league than anything I do. Why did it stop the season where everyone thought it was going to be the Packers or the Rams or the Chiefs, and then they sucked to start, and then they came back around a little bit, and then the lower teams came up, played well. So everyone started to get ranked based on what their previous week was. And, like, no team has stepped up to take over the mantle of being the best team in the league, unlike most years where one team has kind of been outstanding most weeks. So when Jacksonville can beat the so-called best team in the division, or the Rams go out last night and Stafford plays like he did and turned into a pumpkin from Detroit, when does it switch?
Okay, so when does it switch where someone emerges, I guess is what he's asking. I can't wait more than a minute on that.
Tom, appreciate the question. I think it's going to be the very end of the season. I just think things have been very topsy-turvy for the last year plus, and it's just left sort of like a flat, wide-open field, and we're not sure. It's about, look, we've seen it before. It's about who gets hot at the end of the season. It's not about who's the best in Week 10. Who gets hot? Could it be the Patriots? Could the Patriots have peaked too soon? Listen to the Adam Jones show later for that. Nobody knows. So let's see what happens in December. The Patriots had the Bills twice. I think we'll have a pretty good idea after both those meetings how good those two teams are and who's the king of the East. Then we can get into the rest of the conference.
There's also components, right? It's really, really, really hard to win unless you have a top-end quarterback. Does Mac Jones qualify? It's really, really, really hard to win unless you've got at least a representative defense. Does Buffalo? Does Kansas City? I think you can sort of parse your way through that. If you had to add it all up, who's the best team in the league right now? Can I just answer it? And I hate it because I know they're not going to win it.
But Green Bay?
I think Green Bay.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, if you...
Their defense has been really good recently too.
Excellent. Last 3 weeks, excellent.
Defense, quarterback, coaching. And I don't like Matt LaFleur, but in the regular season, Matt LaFleur is something like, 45-7. Like, his one loss record is stupid. They win every effing week. So if you just sort of add that up, like, they kind of check most of the boxes. And if you care about run pass balance, they can do that too. Like, and I know they ain't going to win. I don't feel good about them, but I don't know if there's another team that checks as many boxes as they do, you know? So, but, anyway, I don't know if that answers your question, Tom. There was one that I wanted here. Oh, Michael in Taunton wants to talk about Bill Belichick and his critics. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. You remember weeks ago some writer from Dallas was critical of Belichick and wrote that article saying the mystique's gone and his final years will be like Landry's?
Yes, I do.
I think Bill Belichick must have read articles like that, and that's why I think he was motivated to have more of an input, and why I think he's been happier in his press conferences lately. He's probably thinking, yeah, what do you a-holes think of me now? Can you see him thinking that? Yeah.
Yes.
Bring him out to the X in Dealey Plaza, too. That's what we should do to him.
I would like to talk about this very thing next hour. After that column, Bill Belichick decided, you know what? I'm going to stop sucking.
Mm-hmm. It was a deliberate conscious.
Now I'm going to stop sucking.
So now I'm fine. You know what? That column comparing me to Tom Landry, now, you know what? That's the last straw. I am now committed to not sucking anymore.
I'll tell you, I give Bill a little bit of credit because someone asked him a question in the last day or so where, like, you know, about building up through the first 4 weeks of the season. And to his credit, Bill said, well, you know, believe it or not, we were actually trying to win those games. You know, so like Greg...
I don't fully believe him.
Okay, but
he's full Arsenal in the first.
Okay, but he's not trying to lose.
Go ahead, Bill. Right, hold on.
Nobody said he was trying to lose, Mass. Well, don't be a moron, okay.
Jimmy's right. Trying to play this. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Believe it or not, Chris, we try to play well all the time.
Okay, but he does build in a slow build, so he's not he's not trying to lose. He's also not firing all of his guns in September. I mean, I think Greg overstated it, which we are fully in favor of. By the way, big boy. But he did overstate it in the preseason when he said the first month doesn't matter. Like, that's an overstatement. But somewhere in the middle there, Bill does that first month is not as important to him as the last month. That is just a fact.
Yes, I believe that too. How many teams treat it that way?
Not enough.
Okay, but not zero.
Not zero.
It's not like he's the only one who does it that way. There are lots of places that have young quarterbacks and new operations, like, and so they start to build something. I just think that thing gets overplayed. That's all. Just gets a little overplayed. Now, you want to tell me, do Bill's teams get better during the year? Yes, without question. I look at it now and I say, well, of course they're playing better. It's November. This is what happens with Bill's teams.
I'll tell you, if you really want to talk about that, you could say that they do it too much. In other words, they left too much on the table in September and dug themselves too big of a hole. If they're on the road in the playoffs, because
Miami,
because
it was the Miami game,
yeah,
just, all they needed to do New was Orleans 500,
right? You know, so like, just put a little more into some of those early season games, or I don't know, put your balls on the table just a little bit more in some of those, like the Tampa or Dallas game, and go for it on fourth down. That's as opposed to kicking. Guess. You know, if you went for it a little more and put a little more weight into September, maybe you're one game better. Instead of traveling to Tennessee, you're going to be home against Tennessee in the playoffs. You can turn that thing around, which I think we just did. Greg, any final thoughts?
Not really.
Okay. Thanks for the stint. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for Bitchy Bedard. We'll be put together at some point. If you didn't hear our opening segment, that'll be reproduced at some time here coming up on Felger and Mass. I do want to hit on that what was just sort of touched on about Bill Belichick, the job he's doing, his enjoyment level with this team versus maybe some others. I want to get to that whole thing after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.